Now, it's time for the Cybersecurity News Bite with Jim Guckin.
Welcome to the Cybersecurity News Bite Podcast, Episode 2, January 9th, 2022. COVID phishing email taunts users with funeral helpline. Fresh warnings issued over Google services. Norton 360 now comes with a crypto miner. And thousands of schools impacted by an IT provider hit with ransomware. The Digrex banking malware has been toying with victims and researchers over the last few weeks, with its latest example being a phishing campaign that taunts the victims with a COVID-19 funeral assistance helpline number. Drydex is a banking malware distributed through phishing emails containing malicious Word or Excel attachments. When one of these attachments are opened, the macros are enabled, the malware will be downloaded and installed on the victim's device. The threat actor began trolling security researchers by using their names combined with racist comments as the malware file names and email addresses. Earlier this week, the threat actor spammed fake employee termination letters that displayed alerts stating "Merry Xmas, dear employees," after infecting their devices. So now the same threat actors took it to the next level by spamming coworkers once again with the subject line of COVID-19 testing results or something along those lines that states the recipient was exposed to a coworker who tested positive to the Omicron COVID-19 variant. The email states, "This letter is to inform you that you have been exposed to a coworker who tested positive for the Omicron variant of COVID-19 sometime between December 18th and December 20th, reads the new phishing email. Please take a look at the details in the attached document. The email includes a password-protected Excel or Word file, and the password is included in the email that needs to open it. Once the password's entered, the recipient is showed a blurred COVID-19 document and is prompted to enable content to be able to view it. As an insult to injury, after you enable these macros, the device becomes infected. The threat actor taunts the victims by displaying an alert icon containing the phone number for the COVID-19 funeral assistance helpline. With COVID-19 variant being highly contagious and rapidly spreading worldwide, phishing emails about the Omicron variant are becoming quite popular with malicious actors, and are very highly effective in distributing malware nowadays. If you weren't aware, Google Voice is a service that provides Google customers pretty much a phone number that they can use for calling, text messaging, and voicemail. It can be used to make free PC-to-phone calls within the US and Canada. Well, scammers have been contacting people who sell things on online marketplaces such as Craigslist or Facebook, claiming to be interested in an item. However, before they make a purchase, they claim they want to make sure that the seller is a real person, so they send them a text message with a Google Voice verification code and ask them to provide the code. Once they have obtained the verification code, the scammers can create a Google Voice number linked to that victim's real phone number. They can use this phone number to scam others and hide their identity. The verification code can also be used to hijack the victim's Gmail account, the FBI says. But that's not all going on in the Google realm. On a similar note, the email security company Avan on Thursday warned that threat actors have been abusing Google Docs to deliver phishing websites and malware. Attackers are creating Google Docs documents and adding a comment that mentions the email address of the targeted user. The target receives an email from Google letting them know about the comment. The email includes the attacker's comment, which can be linked to a malicious website, accompanied by a piece of text that attempts to convince the victim to click on it. This technique has been used since August 2020, and at that time Google promised to take measures. However, the security company Avan says that Google still hasn't fully addressed the issue, and a new attack wave, mainly targeting Outlook users, was spotted from the firm as late as December 2021. Avan explained there are several ways that this email is difficult for scanners to stop and end users to spot. For one, the notification comes directly from Google. By default, as we're all aware, Google is on most allow lists and trusted by all users. Secondly, the email doesn't contain the attacker's email address, just the display name. This makes it hard for anti-spam filters to judge and even harder for end users to be able to recognize. Now, if you spent any time on the internet recently, you've probably seen the story of Norton 360 coming with a crypto miner built into it. Some of it's sensationalized, but most of it's true if you paid attention to the right sources. So Norton 360, one of the most popular antivirus products on the market today, has installed a crypto mining program on its customers' computers. Now, Norton says the cloud-based service that activates the program and allows customers to profit from the scheme, in which the company keeps about 15% of any currency mined, is opt-in, meaning users have to enable it. I still am not fond of you installing it and then I have to opt in, but still. According to the FAQ posted on its Norton Crypto website, it's going to mine Ethereum while the customer's computer is idle, only when it's idle and only if it meets the system requirements, which is an NVIDIA graphics card with at least 6 GB of memory. Norton creates a secure digital Ethereum wallet for each user, and the key to the wallet is encrypted and stored securely in the cloud. Only you have access to the wallet, the website states. Norton LifeLock began offering the mining service back in July of 2021, and early news coverage of the program did not immediately receive widespread attention. Well, that all changed on January 4th, when Boing Boing co-editor Cory Doctorow tweeted that Norton Crypto would run by default for Norton 360 users. Now, Norton LifeLock says that Norton Crypto is an opt-in feature only and it's not enabled without users' permission. Norton LifeLock says if users have turned on the Norton Crypto but no longer wish to use the feature, it can be disabled by temporarily shutting off tamper protection, which, you know, keeps users from modifying the Norton installation as well as malware, and deleting the nccrypt.exe from your computer. Now, however, in reality, many users are reporting that it's way more difficult to actually remove that mining program than what Norton LifeLock is saying. It's an open question whether Norton Crypto users can expect to see much profit from participating in this scheme, at least in the short run. Mining cryptocurrencies basically involves using your computer's spare resources to help validate financial transactions for other crypto users. So crypto mining causes one's computer to draw more power, which can increase one's overall electricity costs. Now, they're all doing this where they get 15% without putting any stake into it, why they use your computer, and yeah, you get the other 85%, but you're also paying way more for the electrical costs. And there's a minimum before you can transfer stuff out of the wallet, as well as transferring any kind of cryptocurrency from one to another, or even into cash, usually has its own fees on it. So it doesn't seem like a good deal for the Norton user. Now, and finally, a story that comes all too often when we bundle our services with a third-party provider. A leading provider of school website infrastructure has been hit by a ransomware attack, potentially disrupting thousands of global customers. Finalsite claims to serve over 8,000 schools worldwide, offering content management, communications, mobile, and enrollment software. A message posted by the firm on Twitter yesterday apologized for prolonged outages customers have been forced to endure as a result of the attack. The Finalsite security team monitors our network systems 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. On Tuesday, January 4th, our team identified the presence of ransomware on certain systems in our environment and explained, "In the time since the security incident, our security infrastructure and engineering teams have been working around the clock to restore backup systems and bring our network back to full performance in a safe and secure manner." Finalsite claimed it had uncovered no evidence that data had been stolen as part of the raid, but admitted that forensic work is still ongoing. For those of you who have not had an incident, sometimes this happens where you're starting to respond to the data, you're doing investigations, so you don't quite know exactly everything that's happened to this point. But as they dig through that data, they may find it. Or they may find the ransomware was just the end of the attack. Double extortion involving the threat of leaking stolen data is now the norm for such attacks, according to ransomware experts. We see it all the time. They encrypt the data, but they may expect that you have some kind of backup or know that you can recover the data or even live without the data. So what they do now is not only encrypt the data, but copy it off-site so that, all right, you got your data back, fine, release it, and we're going to, if you don't pay us. According to some reports, over 80% of the attacks that were in quarter three of 2021 involved the theft of corporate information alongside file encryption. Now, this time there's no sign of exactly how many schools have been impacted by the attack, though people on Reddit claim about 2,200 schools might have been disrupted. With numbers like this, there's a good chance that a school in your town may be impacted. Many districts are complaining that they are unable to use their emergency notification systems to warn communities about closures due to weather or COVID. The impact of this outage is far greater than the attention it's received. There is no indication of whether Finalsite is engaging with its attacker or when the customers can expect to restore the final services. So this is something big that you have to watch out for when you outsource these things. While you can cut down on costs, and it makes it a lot easier for you to maintain, that when these service providers get hit, they take a lot of people out simultaneously, and you really need to think about what happens in that instance. I know people hate this. We hate to think this far ahead, but you should plan what happens if your normal notification channels cannot work, and have a plan for it, and test it. It's that simple. But these are the lessons that we learn from these kind of attacks. Why this hasn't impacted you unless you work in a school district. Stuff like this can happen to your business and you need to plan for it.
You've been listening to the Cybersecurity News Bite with Jim Guckin. Learn more about our show at cybersecuritynewsbite.com.